Welcome to Gravel Notes with David Evans. I am David Evans, and this podcast is by the team behind Autosport and Motorsport.com. When I'm not talking to you about rally cars, which I'll be doing a lot of in this podcast, you can usually find me writing about them in Autosport.com, in the magazine Autosport, in Motorsport News, and of course on Motorsport.com. But for now, let's talk rallying. And what better place to start than this week's Rally Turkey, the 11th round of this year's FIA World Rally Championship. It takes us back to some of the toughest and most tricky conditions that the championship's known. Turkey, of course, returned to the championship for the first time last year, and it brought with it the return of a very different style of event. Turkey is hot, rough, complicated. It's the sort of event that you have to plan your attack. You can't just jump in the car and go flat chat in the style that you would in Finland. Yes, we've got rough rallies in the championship. We've got Mexico, Sardinia. Turkey takes it to a different level. You talk to anybody, you know, Sebastian Ogier says this is the roughest rally that he's done in his career. He did, okay, a couple of Acropolis later in the years, say 10 or 11, 12, around those years, when Acropolis wasn't as bad as it had been in previous years. But there's nothing like Turkey, by far the hardest event. What did we see last year? We saw absolute carnage, didn't we? We saw a few guys go out and go quite hard at the event. Thierry Neuville, Sebastian Ogier, they led early doors. Craig Breen was an early leader as well last year, but they all hit trouble. I don't think any of us will forget the drama that we saw last year when we saw on the first stage of Saturday morning, Thierry Neuville struggling with the left front damper of his Hyundai punching its way through the bonnet. Thierry made it to the end of the stage and then worked, he and Nicolas Gilsoul, his co-driver, worked for a long time trying to fix that suspension, but there was no chance. And it was simply the pounding that car had taken going through those stages that caused that. By the end of that loop, Sebastian Ogier then moved into the lead, obviously, but by the end of that loop, we saw massive drama when Ogier had a wishbone fail on his car. He got to the end of the stage, limped through, again, worked, turned mechanic, ace mechanic, and worked on the car for a very, very long time. For Sebastian to have Elvin Evans alongside him was a real boost for him. Elvin knows plenty, you know, he's worked as a mechanic, as has Sebastian. You know, he's a good mechanic in his own right. But what Elvin could do was he could get on the radio and he could talk to the team. And he could offer Sebastian advice. The team obviously could watch what was going on because of the WRC All Live, which the cameras were there fixed on what Sebastian was doing. So the rest of the world could see what he was trying to do. But it was an incredible job. And on more than one occasion during that time, Ogier came very, very close to just knocking it on the head and calling it a day. But he didn't. He persevered. He carried on. He got the car back to service and was running fourth. And then the most unbelievable scenes straight after service, when Sebastian had done all of the hard work, he came into the next stage and slid off the road on a fairly innocuous looking left-hander and just the car was beached against a tree with virtually no damage. And all of that work and all of that effort came to nothing. And then the guy that had been running ninth after stage five on the first day, nowhere. Oit Tanak was absolutely out of this event, and I remember talking to him midway through Friday last year, and he said, you know, this isn't our rally, we are nowhere, we can expect nothing. And to be fair, he was ninth. After Ogier went out, he was into the lead. I think actually Andreas Mikkelsen had a brief spell in the lead. Tanak was the only one that didn't have any really significant issues. He didn't have any punctures, he kept the car straight. And he won the rally. And to talk to him now, an absolutely incredible effort that he put in to control his driving, to do essentially the exact opposite of what a rally driver will want to do and jump in the car and go absolutely flat chat. He knew he couldn't do that. He knew he had to drive that car sensibly, slowly, and bring it to the end. And as long as he kept it in the middle of the road, he knew the win was there waiting for him. And it was. So the big change for Toyota this year is that they fully understand that scenario is very unlikely to play out again this week. I talked to Toyota Gazoo Racing chief engineer Tom Fowler at length about this, and Tom said they understand that their rivals, Citroën, M Sport, Hyundai, have fully understood what it took to win that rally and what the failings that they had in losing it last year, and they've learned from those lessons. They've learned from those, and they will come back stronger and harder and quicker this year. So Toyota has addressed its own problem. The real issue that Tanak had last year was with the suspension. They have to run the car quite high to get a ground clearance to get over some of these enormous rocks that line the route through Turkey. But at the same time, you know, when you're running a high car, you've got no precision. It can compromise traction. It just didn't work. When they built the Yaris WRC in 17, it was built in such a rush that they didn't have time to go into every aspect of the suspension. And because at that time there wasn't really a very, very rough gravel rally in the championship, they didn't spend too long working on the suspension. They have done now. And the Boss dampers and the suspension that they come to this week's Marmaris-based rally with is radically different. And it is way, way quicker from what we're told. They did a lot of testing in Greece before the event. And Tom said it's always difficult as an engineer because, you know, you're naturally quite conservative. You want to gather all the data. You don't want to take a risk. You don't want to gamble on anything. But he said they had the three drivers there. They had Tanak, Jari-Matti Latvala and Chris Meek. And they all got into the test car with the new suspension on it and said, yes, this is what we want. This is where we're going. So what's new with that suspension? They've lightweighted some of the components in the suspension, and they've worked on the shims inside the dampers. Now, I put it to Tom that, you know, do you really want to be lightweighting suspension when you're coming to the roughest gravel rally of the season? He's completely confident. And now the other thing that he told me was, we saw Juho Hänninen running a fourth Yaris in Sardinia. The reason that Juho was in that car was because it was running this new gravel, this rough gravel setup with the suspension, and it worked perfectly. Basically, they've gathered all the data they need. They know that this thing is going to work, so they've bolted it on the car. Turkey last year was potentially really the only chink in Toyota's armor this year. If they've got that fixed, then you've got to say all bets could be off for the championship. You know, if Tanak has absolute confidence that the car's going to do what he wants and ride the way he wants it to, you know, he's going to be in a very, very good place come Friday. I spoke to him at the back end of last week, and he's in a great frame of mind. You know, he feels that they've taken a good step with the suspension. But like Hoyt said, you know, we know what we've got. We know where we are compared to last year. What we don't know is where Sebastien Ogier's Citroën C3 is, for example. You know, we saw that car lead with Craig Breen last year. And we don't know where Thierry's Hyundai is. You know, we've seen Hyundai take a great step in Finland. We will have to wait and see. But yeah, Turkey is going to be a fascinating race. And it's one that for sure that Tanak doesn't have to go and go absolutely flat chat. By his own admission, the pressure here is obviously on Ogier and Thierry Neuville. Thierry Neuville goes there 33 points behind Oit. Seb is 40 points back with four rounds to go in the championship. Ogier he's never chased a championship from this far back. You know, it's a huge gap for him to make up. And it's a completely different mindset for Tanak. Tanak went there absolutely chasing, third in the championship last year. You know, he told us regularly he was going rally by rally last year, and he totally didn't expect to be in the frame for the championship. But that victory in Turkey, it really promoted him back into the championship fight. It's a different frame of mind for Tanak. He goes there as a championship leader. He will struggle on Friday. Friday will be a tough day. It was the roughest day last year. The stages are the same this year. It will be just as rough. Early route survey reports that we've heard, it hasn't got any smoother, put it that way. And as I mentioned, with those temperatures in the mid to high 30s, no rain forecast, it will be tricky for the championship leader who runs first on the road and will sweep a lot of that loose gravel clear. So what else can we expect in Turkey? Obviously, we've got the support championships. We've got WRC2 back. We've got Gus Greensmith back in the Fiesta R5 Mark II. And he will face Jan Kopecky and Kalle Rovanperä. Rovanperä, both of them, obviously, they're in the factory Skodas. Rovanperä is almost the sort of runaway leader in the championship. There's a lot to work out. Greensmith hasn't done as many rounds as drop scores, what have you, but certainly in the box seat right now, it is Kalle Rovanperä. So plenty of reasons to watch Rally Turkey. And, of course, we've got Pontus Tiedemann coming back. Elvin Evans is still out due to that back injury that he sustained at Rally Estonia. So Tiedemann takes the second Fiesta World Rally car. Teemu Suninen, he's the team leader, if you like, at M Sport. Difficult job for Teemu. He's come from an environment where he's had Elvin Evans alongside him, and last year, of course, he had Sebastien Ogier in the team. So suddenly everybody's looking to this young Finn, to Teemu, to tell them exactly what to expect from the car, what setup they need. It's a difficult one, but Suninen has shown great speed on these kind of rallies before, and if everything falls into place for him, you know, he's absolutely got the potential to score a great result. Let's take a break. We will be back in part two, where we will have a very quick look back. I thought it'd be a good chance to look back at the results and the start of the year that's brought us to this place as we come into this week's Rally Turkey. So see you in part two. Welcome back to Gravel Notes with David Evans. So I said in the first part that we would be looking back at the first half of the year. Well, more than the first half of the year now, aren't we? We're 10 rounds in, 10 of 14. We've got four to go. So let's look back. And really, it is all about one man so far, isn't it? It's all about Ojt Tanak. He's won five from the 10 rounds that we've had so far. And you've got to say, a couple of those events, you know, in Sardinia, he should. There's no doubt he should have won Sardinia. He had that problem with the steering on the final stage that cost him the win. That would have been six wins. That would have put him even further ahead. As it is, he's 33 points ahead of Thierry Neuville, 40 points ahead of Ogier. We kind of feared this from really the middle of last year. We knew that Tanak was coming into this incredible purple patch of form. And he's just stayed there. He's absolutely stayed there. And when the Toyota has worked as it should, nobody's been quicker. Nobody could touch him. Remember Wales last year? You know, again, he was first half of the event unbelievably quick, built up a huge 40-second lead going into Sweet Lamb second time through. And then there was that really strange incident as he was braking for the left-hander in Sweet Lamb, and some guard dug in and broke the radiator. Strange, strange things. But it looks as though, touch wood, Toyota is on top of all of these issues. They, you know, they had the wheel rim issue in Monte Carlo, Corsica this year. They have fixed that. Germany, we saw them with no issues. This is the third incarnation, the third iteration of this asphalt spec rim that they've got, and they've finally got that licked. And then there was a brake issue in Germany, a very late in the day brake issue for Tanak in the power stage. But again, they've understood, they've investigated, they know what it is. It's part of the bedding in process for the pads and discs. It's all done by a machine, but the data that they were getting back from that machine didn't actually tally with essentially what they wanted it to. So then they are getting the drivers to do the final part of this bedding in process. Essentially, what we're seeing is Toyota evolving into an incredible, potentially dominant team. Let's not forget, Tommi Mäkinen's team only started in the championship in 2017. Toyota, of course, has a great heritage in the championship, but this is a very different team to Toyota Team Europe that we saw running out of Cologne much earlier in the championship. So Mäkinen's team is all new. And they have done a fantastic job. There's no denying that. They won on their second outing in Sweden in 17, won the championship for manufacturers last year, and now everything looks to be coming good for Tanak. Victories in Sweden, Chile, Portugal, Finland, and Germany. He's on a roll. For me, you know, if he can get through Friday in a good place, have a good place on the road, and Saturday and Sunday in Turkey, he could be the man. Well, as we discussed in the first half, you know, Toyota's worked very hard on the setup for Turkey, so let's just see. Otherwise, Thierry, you know, the only other driver to do back-to-back wins, he won in Corsica and Argentina, was looking good in Chile, and then had that enormous accident in Chile where he was, you know, we all breathed a sigh of relief when we saw him and Nicolas Gilson walk away from that one. It was a bit of a monster. The big story for Hyundai has to be their new motorsport director, Andrea Adamo. He's a guy that's coming to replace Michel Nandon for this year, and he has done a very, very good job. He hasn't shied away from any of the really tough decisions. We've seen Andreas Mikkelsen on a full-time contract. When he wasn't performing, Adamo wasted no time in whipping him out of the car and putting Sebastian Loeb in. You know, why wouldn't you put a nine-time world champion in the car for Corsica? And then we've also seen in Spain, he replaces Mikkelsen in Spain, doesn't he? So Adamo is making a big difference. in terms of both the decisions about which driver goes where and in the direction of resources with the development of the car. The cars come on. We saw in Finland, they've always struggled with that car in Finland, but it was better this year. We've seen some really interesting storylines from Hyundai. Obviously, Andrea Adamo, we've touched on him there, but, you know, Mikkelsen as well. He's looked at a driver a long, long way from the dominant force, you know, the guy that beat Sebastian Ogier in a straight fight in a Volkswagen Polo on that final day in Australia in 16. Has Mikkelsen got it back? Sardinia was a good event for him. He looked strong there. In Finland, he was strong as well. Germany, it was difficult again. I don't know. Time will tell. But Andreas is out of the car for Spain. They've gone for the obvious lineup of Thierry Neuville, Danny Sordo, the home hero, and of course Sebastian Loeb, who won the event last year. It's a tricky one. And of course, we've also seen Craig Breen coming into the car with Hyundai brilliantly in Finland. Ran as the leading I-20 for much of the event, then had to slow down on Sunday. As Craig said himself ahead of the event, you know, all he wanted to do was put himself in a position where the team had to say to him, look, slow down. We need you to pull over and let the other, you know, either Andreas or Thierry by. And he was in that position brilliantly. And he has, that effort has got him back in the car for Rally GB, and that's one of the most exciting prospects looking forward to Rally GB is what Craig can do with that car. Elsewhere, Citroën, there's no doubt, you know, they've struggled this season. They've made some steps with the geometry, with the suspension, with the transmission, but still, you know, they're not the force that they once were. And I wonder, you know, Sebastian Ogier, we've seen him. Obviously, he won two of the first three rounds. And there was then, these cars were on the podium all the way up to Sardinia. For me, it was almost a bit of a false dawn. You know, that Ogier brought something to that team and he raised the level. And perhaps he brought more to the car than the car was bringing to his relationship, if you know what I mean. But there's more to come from the car, I'm sure, but it was difficult in Germany when you saw Sebastian Ogier saying that he simply couldn't drive this car. It's, you know, nobody wants to see that. Oh, but Ogier's a fighter. Let's see what he can do. And for sure, you know, Esa-Pekka Lappi finished second again in Finland. He is a massive talent. There's no doubt about him. And we talked about storylines there, you know, storylines through the first half of the year. The face of Esa-Pekka Lappi, you'd like to say the changing face, but it didn't change much, did it? You know, he was absolute, that hangdog expression at the end of the stage, you know, you couldn't help but feel for the guy. He couldn't make the car work. Events like GB will perhaps suit Esa-Pekka more. He doesn't have a massive amount of experience in GB, but let's see what he can do. But I take you back to Finland, second in Finland, second on his home round. You don't get to finish second in Evascular without knowing how to drive a car and having a good car underneath you. The other guy that was solid through the first half of the year was Elvin Evans. Tricky Monte Carlo, didn't finish there. But then, you know, podiums in Mexico and in Corsica. Who can forget Corsica? What that guy did, you know, he deserved to win. Was leading going into the final stage, hit a pothole, got a puncture, and didn't win. He should have won that event. And then, of course, we've come through to Rally Estonia, where he went to do a final test for Finland. Heavy landing, damaged his back, and he's been forced to sit out the last three rounds. He deserved far more from this year. He will be back in the car in Wales. The other bit, Chris Meek, solid start to his return to the championship after all of the woes with Citroën last year. Came back in a Toyota and drove, for me, really well. Looked like a changed character, learned the car through, you know, difficult Monte, Sweden, but then just a little bit frustrating was Portugal, wasn't it, where he was in the fight for second place going into the penultimate stage, had a half spin and then got himself wound up and went off on the power stage. We've seen it before from Chris, but you know, Chris knows, he knows better than anybody what's on the line here, and he knows what he's got to do to turn it around. You'd have to say, in Germany, like a different driver again. Delivered a superb result with second place. Never looked in doubt. You know, and this is a little bit of the frustration that when Chris is there, he's absolutely there. You know, and he can totally deliver what's needed. Chris Meek remains one of the fastest drivers from A to B in the whole wide world. Just like Yari Matti, when it comes down to raw speed, they've both got it. but it is the ability to put that raw speed together through the whole event. We saw Chris do it in Germany. We saw Jari Matti do it in Germany to provide Toyota with that historic 1-2-3. A lot of talk about Kalle Rovanperä joining the team for next year. For me, that deal is done. I am absolutely sure that he'll be in the third Yaris next season. If that's the case, and if Oit Tänak remains where he is next year, then there's one seat. And it's a big fight between Mika and Latvala for that seat. And that's not to say that they don't bring somebody else in. Who knows? And I intend as well to talk, obviously, to all of the drivers, get some views and opinions. I'll start that in Turkey this week, and we'll talk to as many people as we can just to try and find out exactly who goes where, who does what for next year. So really, that is about it from me for now. Thank you for joining me on this first show. Make sure you visit autosport.com and motorsport.com for the latest news on the WRC. And you can subscribe to this show for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Give us a while and then give us a rating in a few weeks. But yeah, there's plenty more talk from WRC and from the wider world of rallying to come from me. So I look forward to talking to you after Turkey, when we'll see. Obviously, Oit Tänak will still be leading the championship. That is not going to change, but I'm sure there are plenty of twists and turns to come in the heat and sun of Turkey this week. So I look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.